everyone, and welcome back to In My Heart, a podcast truly about all the things in my heart and finding our freedoms. I'm your host, Heather Thompson. Carol Radziwill is a New York Times bestselling author, an Emmy award-winning journalist, a political activist, a beloved alum of reality television, a beauty consultant to Violet Grey, and now entrepreneur. Carol and her partner started Get Sex and Good to help women get comfortable with their personal needs and desires, keeping their sex drives up, and to get comfortable talking about sex. We'll also talk about some new fly wear and catch up on life and all its happenings as we do. Carol Radziwill is in my heart. Welcome, mama.
Are you in the Berkshires?
Yes, I'm in the Berkshires. I'm coming to the city tomorrow.
Oh, good. Let's hang.
I know. I need to see you, girl. All right. So I haven't seen you. I feel like it's almost been one of the longest stretches, but it really hasn't because Corona was a stretch. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about what you've been doing. You know, fall's kicked in, but give us a wrap up on your summer.
Oh my God, my summer.
What about? Because I know you had a road trip, so I want you to share that because I haven't really heard about it.
Oh my God, I took the most amazing trip. I've been very lucky. I've been traveled. I've gone to so many amazing places, but I will tell you, I've never been out west in the way that I did this 10-day motorcycle road trip. We started in Sun Valley, rode to Jackson Hole, yeah, stayed there 2 days, then rode through Wyoming, up to Montana, back to Idaho. I mean, in the tiniest little biker towns, they weren't even towns. It was like you were just on the road and you'd come across some buildings like a bank, a gas station, a boarding house. And that was the whole town. And like a little school, you know, population, like Jackson Hot Springs, population 27. It was
right. It's not even on the National Census Bureau, right? The town.
Yeah. And went with like a group of 20. I was on the back of a friend's motorbike
with really cool chaps on. I don't know if anybody got to spy her Instagram on that trip, but well, you know, look rad, Radziwill.
It wasn't a fashion thing. I mean, although it looks fashiony, but they're actually, my dad was a biker, Harley, you know, guy his whole life. And so I come from, and I used to actually have my motorcycle license. So I come from a family of bikers. The chaps look like fashion and cute, but they're actually serve a purpose. Because if you, God forbid, fall off the bike, it really is the difference between really hurting yourself and like burn scars and stuff and not. So, yeah. So, but yeah,
you gotta be.
I look super cute though, the whole time.
Like, yeah, no, you were rad. I was like, where did she even get those leather chaps? Like, did you have those?
I borrowed them from my girlfriend whose husband organized the whole thing. He's a biker his whole life. His son, Zach, has been a biker his whole life. He's 38 or something, and he's been riding his whole life. I rode on the back of his bike. And it was just, it was so great. And I can say, and any bikers out there, that I rode Beartooth Pass. And that is awesome because that is like anyone who's a real biker knows Beartooth Pass. And it's like almost 12,000 feet in at the top elevation. So you start off, it was June. So it was like 70 degrees, beautiful. As you go up, the temperature drops. And by the time we got to the top, it was hailing like snow. I mean, it was incredible.
On a motorcycle. Thank you very much. Well, the chaps are good for heat too. They keep your legs warm.
No, we kind of bundled up because we kind of knew we were heading in that direction. It was just, Montana is just the most gorgeous state I've been to, and I've been to so many, and it was just beautiful. And it was just to be on the road and that freedom you feel. I mean, you've done so many great expeditions and stuff. So I know, you know what that feels like. It was just, it was amazing. It was like exceeded any expectation I had. Even the shitty, tiny little motels we were staying in, I was loved it all. Yeah. Like I would have camped outside. Like if we had to, I was like, so
there's something about the unbelievable beauty and simplicity. You know, we've gotten, I think, especially now when you think about it, when you take a trip like that, that's a dynamic, beautiful, memorable lifetime trip anyway.
Remember we went to, where did we go? Like glamping or something?
Yeah, we went to Montana, mama.
The Montana I was in June was different from when
we were at a fancy resort.
But I remember buying all these like Western weird clothes for that trip, which I never wore again.
Never. How about the hats we got? Those really cool. Remember, did you bring that hat with you? I love those hats.
I wore that hat. I wore this. We went to Wyoming, Cody, Wyoming Rodeo, which was incredible. And I don't know if you remember, I wore this like denim and lace long gown with cowboy boots.
To the rodeo. We wore dresses to the rodeo. We were so, the fashion was just like, yeah, it was yeah. kind of
so
stupid.
I got to reuse a lot of those costumes, you know, that you Yay! Would never wear anywhere else. So it was
totally. I get to wear some of the out west stuff that I use, and some of it I had, because you know I'm a little bit of a cowgirl anyway. I was able to, I use it in the Berkshires, you know, more than definitely you'd be able to get to use it in New York City. I'm having the worst menopause right now, Carol. My estrogen is low and I can't complete sentences. Oh, it's the brain fog is crazy. Yeah. So we're going to get into that because I want to talk to you about that. So I'm managing my estrogen. I'm getting more from the hormones, but I lost my train of thought about the rodeo in Montana and out west. But bottom line is I'm so glad.
I showed up in the rodeo this time with that outfit on, and literally people were like, huh?
Staring at you. Exactly. Because everyone else is. Well, when you show up like that and you're, see, I mean, when I think about the fashion from the show, it was fun for a while, but like it's gotten so, for me, I think it's kind of gotten crazy. Like they're dressing up in like Louis Vuitton to sit in each other's living rooms. It's like silly.
I
thought it was really fun being at a rodeo to dress as pretty prairie girls and, you know, have the cameras behind you. It like, it made sense. You know what I mean? And I love, you love those prairie florally dresses. You upped the game. It was still my style.
I remember for that trip because it was so specific. It was so Western.
Yeah. I brought what I had. I brought my cowboys and my cowboy boots and stuff like that. But it was really fun. I mean, speaking of housewives, I have to say, I really wasn't going to segue it, but I have to segue it because it just was so funny. I just in the nature of how things have changed. That's really what it is. It's like when we think back to the show then, and then I think of what my experience was now. And then we talked about it. And I actually was on a podcast recently and I mentioned how I called you in the car on the way home because I was so, you were the first phone call, of course, that I would make because I was so in foreign territory. It felt nothing about it felt familiar. And so it was like kind of the first person that I called was you. And the headline was like Secret Conversation with Carol Radziwill and Heather Thompson after filming.
And we got to be careful. Remember what happened last year when we did the podcast? And exactly what happened, what I said would happen, right? They took out snippets of our conversation and not the press. Let's be clear. This is not press. We're not talking to the press.
This is my podcast.
Your podcast. What is it? Like the blog, the housewife blogosphere. They pull out all this crap. And
it's called taking something out of context is what it's called and making it a sensational headline.
It's going to happen again.
It's going to happen again, but you were right. I mean, not only did you predict it, but you nailed it. Like it was so incredible, which actually brought me to the realization, which I feel like we talked about maybe like a few months ago or something when I realized, when I called you and said, why did you let me do that? Like, why didn't you hold me and tie me back? And but what we remembered, which was interesting, was when I left the show, you still had all those, you had three more seasons or even maybe four, I can't remember. So you didn't realize how much it had changed since I had been there, like until I was finished. And they're like, no, but didn't you know they started to do that? I'm like, no, they didn't do that when I was on the show. Like, oh yeah. Like you started to remember that I was distant even more than you were. And you were like, you know what? You're right. I should have been stronger and harder with you, but I probably wouldn't have listened anyway.
I know. I think it was you wanted to do it. And I mean, you kind of wanted to do it, but there was,
I wanted to do the right thing.
You wanted to. Yeah. And, I was very against it. I am upset with myself that I didn't really, I guess I didn't tell you enough how much not only the show had changed, but from what I knew about the casting and all that, that it wasn't probably going to be good for you. And also I knew that production was setting you up anyway. So I really in my heart knew that. And I don't know if that really came across, but they did. They knew. What
was hell happen. Yeah, they did. Oh my God. It was so crazy.
And I'll never forget when you said, well, I don't know. I got to Ramona's and I was waiting in the car for like 2 hours. I thought, oh my God, that's a classic technique that they used to do, that staggered arrival thing where, you know, of course they wanted to keep you 2 hours, you know, they were filming for 2 hours talking a bunch of nonsense about you.
Yeah.
and they didn't want you there.
Totally. And usually back in the day when I was on the show, a producer would get in the car with you and say, okay, they're talking, like, they're, you know, your podcast came up. They're going to, you know, just see, like, you weren't totally ambushed and blindsided. Like, it was an ensemble cast, which was like totally missing. Like, they'd say, ask Sonia what happened last night at dinner with her and Carol or something. Like, that's how the producers would egg you on or something. So then you could use that your own way. I could go straight up and say to Sonia, what happened to Carol? Or I could go, so what's going on? How you been? Like, what'd you do last night? Like, or I could not ask her at all. Or I could send her a text to say, production wants to ask me at you about last night. Do you feel like talking about it?
Yeah.
Like, you had different ways to play it. This, you were just like totally, you know, taken off guard.
I hadn't seen the show in the year since I'd left, but I knew what it was like. And you see a lot on social media. So I was familiar with the casting and stuff, but I did watch the episodes. I did watch the episodes that you were in.
Filming it was one thing, but then waiting for the edit, I mean, it was like even worse than I could have ever imagined.
Even it was worse than I thought that they would do to you. I get it now because the ratings are in free fall and they're looking at the ratings and their demo is like in no way, you know, under 500,000. And, you know, the demo is what Bravo cares about. So I get why they had to do that, but like,
well, that's the show, right? And I always keep trying to make the show better or be better than the, you know what I mean? And I always fall into that trap. But, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, I had regrets for going back because what I recognize is you can never go back. You know what I mean? Nothing ever stays the same. And I know that, but I wasn't necessarily trying to do the same thing. I was trying to lean into something new. So I don't necessarily.
Also, I was surprised that the extent to which the women who you did not know, Leia and Ebony, leaned into this idea that they knew you because they're students of the show. And I was just like, where did that come from? Like talking about you and to you as though they knew you, and like someone like Luann, who actually did know you and you had a friendship for many years, did know you. But it was like they leveled the playing field where suddenly it's like,
and I was at such a disadvantage because I did no research and I wanted to like meet everybody new. I had only met, you know, that Leia for a second and Ebony was brand new and I didn't know anything about her. I knew that the only thing that I did know about her is that she worked for Puff at his television station. That's all I knew, but I didn't know anything about her because I wanted to learn it on the show. But then I'm like an idiot trying to explain to her to make her feel comfortable that I was an ally. And it made me look like, you know, a classic, you know, I mean, not only did I come close to, but the way the edit was, is I basically said, I know Black people. So I understand the back to, you know,
well,
challenge.
You know, there was a
but
lot of
there was, know there, me, know me. So I have to just lean on that.
Signaling on that episode. So
what I like to use the platform for and what I like to talk to you about is the things that people that really matter to people. And that is right now we're talking about women's health and women's sex health. And, you know, it's absolutely not talked about enough. If you and I were on the show together, we would have had 16 conversations about menopause by now, you know, really useful information for people out there. And so that's what this podcast is about. And that's why I'm really excited to talk to you about your new business. So when you started Sexing Good, it literally came out of a need. So let's talk about what made you decide that this is what you needed to do. And we're going to use your platform to help people because that's really what it's about. It's a service, yes, but it's a service that people need. And there's not a lot out there about it.
Honestly, it started probably during the pandemic. I was just spending time with a girlfriend of mine who she was a former trader at JP Morgan, a real businesswoman, a real entrepreneur, not like me at all. Like I'm what I call a reluctant entrepreneur because I'm a reluctant capitalist. So it's like, I'm like, wait a minute, it only costs this much. You're charging this much. Like, I'm just like, you have to counter it, all these other costs like marketing and everything in your time. And
I'll help you with your P&L.
So that's on my background, but we decided she had just gone through a divorce and we said, you know, there should be a pill or something that you take, like a breakup pill, right? There's a supplement for everything, but there's not really a supplement for that. And it's sort of like to suppress your oxytocin, which I think I talked about oxytocin on Roni a bunch, mm-hmm. maybe it was edited out. I don't know, but like the bonding hormone that mm-hmm. when you have sex with a man or sex with anyone, a partner, you form, for females more than men, your system is flooded with oxytocin and that forms the bond, right? That people mistake sometimes for love, lust, whatever. It's,
yeah.
It's soulmates. It's your hormones. So we were like, we should come up with a supplement that suppresses oxytocin. Well, it turns out the body is miraculous and very complicated, and you can't really actually do that. You can't do that. That's the beauty of
how do you mend a broken heart? I want to take a pill. Please, that would be amazing.
So that sort of morphed into this idea about a sexual wellness company that focused on women's sexual health, sort of in this like post baby making years, because I feel like as someone who's never had a child, I know a lot about pregnancy.
Yes, you do.
Like there's a lot of information about the female body as it relates to childbearing years, pregnancy, post-pregnancy, but then it kind of drops off. You hear anything about perimenopause and the luteal phase of menopause and then menopause in the 50s and post, not really. Everyone's it's just considered aging. It's just what happens, right? Like you lose your sex drive. You have brain fog and you're just like, don't have as much energy. You certainly don't have as much libido and all, but it's not aging. It's hormones. It's the decrease of estrogen in your body. You know what? It's also a sign of aging, inability to get and maintain erections, right? That's a sign of aging. Mm-hmm. Baldness. Those are taken care of, right? You can take a pill for the erections. You could take serums and pills for
transplants and stuff for your hair.
All fixed for men, whereas you don't see that kind of attention towards women's sexual health. And that's a big part of aging, and estrogen is obviously a big part of that. It's a lubricant, right? It lubricates during sex, but it also lubricates your brain, right? And there's cardiac effects, the loss of that estrogen and osteoporosis, right? There's a lot. You can't just have your hormones like be up here and then they plummet, right? Over the course of, 7 or 8 or 9 years, right? They just slowly go down to nothing. So I just thought, I don't know why. I mean, I was just sort of, maybe because I have a journalist background, I was just always kind of investigating and curious about what was happening with my body. And we realized a lot of women don't talk about it. A lot of women don't understand it. A lot of women just think, well, this is aging. I'm not going to be attracted to, it's not like guys are like so great at sex that you're just dying to have it all the time. But it's like, so you really have to like keep your hormone levels up, right? You have to like be healthy. You have to have omega-3 foundation. You have to have a good foundation. So we decided to come up with these supplements. And for me, it's like, in your mid-50s, I'm past the point of supplements. Like I'm just full medical grade estrogen and estrogen. But there's a period between like 38 and 55 or 40, 55 where supplements are really going to impact how you feel on a day-to-day basis and also sexually. So we wanted to sort of, for me, it's like more of the education part. For my partner in the business, she's the business person. And me, I'm just like, we need to educate.
Right. It's like probably help figure out the products too, the development, like finding the holes in the market of what you need to add to the collection.
We have like it's an OMG formula, and OMG is basically maca and horny goat weed and a couple of the proprietary ingredients. And it jacks up your libido. That's what it does, but it's also like some women take it like in the morning because it gives you that energy, right?
That's right.
You take it before a workout, it gives you energy. Then we also have a probiotic. We have an omega-3, which is the foundation building blocks for any healthy immune system and hormonal system. So we just started doing it, and we're still in the beginning phases. And
it's exciting though. Well, I'm in the supplement space, and I'm in the nutrition world, and the one thing about aging that they don't talk about, and especially men and women both, honestly, because testosterone is an issue also as men age, and like you said, like there's commercial about, erection and erectile dysfunction and all that kind of stuff. But I was perimenopausal. So my mom was too. And so that's a little bit of a DNA thing, apparently. I don't know perimenopausal, you just begun. So people, like I had dinner with a girlfriend last night and she didn't know what's going on with her. She was like, you know, she's like, I think I'm starting to like, my periods are starting to become erratic. She's like, but I'm so foggy and I da 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 da. And I was like, well, have you had your hormone levels checked? And she's like, what? Like no OBG, like a lot of OBGYNs are not talking about it. You know what I mean? And then there's also a few different ways to get hormone therapy. So you know more than I do, but I know a lot what you've taught me and then my own experience. So you can get bioidentical hormones, which is where the doctor takes your blood and looks at your testosterone levels and your estrogen levels, and they match.
That's what I've been on.
That's what I use too. And they match.
And by the way, ladies, it's the best beauty. I'm always asked about my beauty products. Estrogen is the best beauty cream you're ever going to buy. And you know, you sure, it's great to put creams and serums on your face, but it's the estrogen. Ask any doctor, OBGYN, dermatologist, your internist, your
even me, your health coach. You know, as you age, your estrogen, your elastin, your collagen, they all start to diminish. And you've named it at 38. You start to lose, or in your mid 30s, you start to lose elastin and collagen production, and estrogen changes, and testosterone in men and women have it too, by the way, change. Like you might not have a sex drive because you have no testosterone in your system right now. So the doctor will check that. And there's a couple ways you can get the delivery system that I know of right now. One is bioidentical. It's not covered by most insurances or any that I know of. And you have to pay out of pocket. It costs about $50 and it lasts a couple months. I have drops that I put on my wrist. Carol, you use a syringe, right?
And
put it on your wrist.
I use a cream.
It
is the cream. It comes in like a syringe, just because you can,
perfect,
you know, I use
the dose.
four units, four little millimeters or whatever it is.
The other way to do it is you could put a patch on. You put a patch on your body and you wear it all the time, and you have to move the patch to different. I don't love the patch. And the thing about the patch, you have to ask your doctor though and make them explain it all. And some doctors don't do bioidentical hormones. So I switched OBGYNs because mine only really did the patch. And the patch is a generic delivery of estrogen and a generic delivery of testosterone and everything else that's in there. Right. So it's kind of like a one size fits all.
Yeah,
and it works for a lot of people. It makes them feel better. I wanted bioidentical. I wanted exactly what I needed. The third way I know about is a pellet in the tush, which is like Star Trek style. They kind of put a pellet in your butt and you have to go get it, replaced every 3 months or so. And what I've heard a lot of people love that. Some of the drawbacks I've heard about that is A, having to go get a pellet in your tushy, but also I don't know if this is true or not. So you have to test it. But apparently I think I heard that the dose is a lot more concentrated at the beginning when the pellet goes in. And then as it melts down, it could potentially not be, you know, the same. So those are the three delivery systems of hormones that I know of for women. Did I miss anything?
No, I mean, I've been doing bioidenticals for 10 years. The thing is that's why I'm sort of like not supportive of the patch. You really have to, if you're going to enter into this world of hormones and whether it's bioidentical or you really have to be consistent. It's like with anything, it's consistent.
Yes.
And you have to get your blood work done. And it really should be tailored to your specific blood work, what you're missing. I used to take a little testosterone. Now I don't take it anymore because I don't need it.
Exactly.
I'm always kind of
checking your levels,
checking in to see where I am.
As a health coach, I recognize that when it comes to healthy eating, taking that first step can be the most important step you take. It's why I created Beyond Fresh whole food, plant-based superfood powders, chews, and supplements we source through organic farmers from around the world. And we make it right here at home with the very best developers to create delicious formulations to help you start feeling your best. Get your gut health in check with our mouth-watering apple cider vinegar, a delicious drink you can look forward to that supports a balanced gut flora. Or take your candy the way Mother Nature intended and try our soft and delicious fruit and veggie chews. They'll tackle any sweet tooth and are packed with 12 organic fruits and vegetables, probiotics, fiber, and a powerful dose of antioxidants in each satisfying chew. Today's the perfect time to plan your fresh start with Beyond Fresh. It's simple, delicious, and affordable. Go to beyondfresh.com and sign up for my mailing list and get started today. You can type in the code HEART in all caps at checkout to receive 20% off your total order. That's beyondfresh.com and use the code HEART in all caps at checkout for 20% off your order. And don't forget to sign up for my mailing list to receive my newsletters and advance notice on my retreats, tips, and offers. We're here for you. Now back to my show. Carol, by the way, taught me everything I knew before I went to my doctor. I had a best girlfriend to talk to. And so I implore you girls to talk together, but here we are sharing with you. So you have to check the blood every now and then, and you have to check on yourself. Like, what happens when you don't have estrogen is there's some classic signs: brain fog. You can't form a sentence. You can't think anymore. You just can't put your head together. Lack of sleep, night sweats, depression. Yes. You know, in that depression where you feel like in that cave, like alone, like hovered down and alone, like nobody really likes you or cares. It's like a very lonely depression. And I know because I'm not someone, thank God, that suffers from depression. So when I got it from the lack of estrogen that I didn't realize it was happening, I thought it was just Corona and I thought it was the change of season. And I kept chalking it up and I realized, Heather, you're not in tune enough. You don't know enough about the symptoms. Know the symptoms. And so I went and had my blood drawn, and sure enough, I didn't have enough estrogen in my bioidentical hormone. My doctor had to change it and up my estrogen. And within 4 days of that estrogen, I could immediately start to feel the change. And my brain fog started to get better. I was scary depressed. Like,
I remember having a conversation with you and I said, you need to check your hormones. I've been doing this so long. I'm so attuned. Like, I know immediately if my estrogen levels have dropped because I get headaches. I get this.
That's
like,
another one. I forgot the headache.
I don't even need to get my blood test. I know almost immediately. I'm like, okay, I need to adjust. And, you know, I always check in with my functional medicine doctor and she's amazing. She's in LA. But yeah, I think a lot of women are unaware of what's happening in their body. I mean, let's be honest. We don't even call, we have a supplement called Down There Care, and it's like, it's for like yeast infections and all that stuff. But it's like the fact that we call it Down There Care is just like, just another example of how it's hard for women to talk about their vagina, but we don't even say it right because it's not even like your vagina you're talking about, because your vagina is what's inside. It's your vulva. What's out. Like, we don't even know. Like, a lot of women will say, why are you saying it's your vulva, right? Your vulva is everything on the outside. Your vagina is on the inside. Do people know that? No, I don't think so. I think they
simple stuff. Yeah. Because we keep moving away and we make nicknames for the, you know, when I was growing up, we called it our doobie. What the heck? Where did that come from? Wow. And then I was watching Sesame Street, the Doobie Brothers came on and I like fell out on the floor. I thought it was the funniest thing.
Isn't a doobie another name for a joint?
It is.
Maybe that's where it came from.
It is. I got to ask my mother where we got it from, but that's what we called it.
I could
didn't even
that.
Call it. I made sure I called Ella's her vagina and Jax's his penis. Like, I remember being an early mother, young mother. And like, what do we tell them? Well, just use the real words. You know, I mean, this was 2004.
But even like, you wouldn't call you know, your vagina is everything on the inside. Yeah. Your vulva is everything on the outside, your outer labias, the clit, and right below that, your urethra and everything. That's the vulva.
Right.
Inside is the vaginal canal and the vagina, what they refer to as it. But we all just call it the vagina because who cares, right? It's not, we're not even allowed to like call it actually really what it is.
But, I mean, are we talking vulva or vagina right now? Let's talk condoms.
Yeah. You know, a part of this company, because I was focused on the education part of it, I thought that we should produce condoms for a bunch of reasons. And Robin, my business partner in Sex and Good, had gotten divorced and was dating. And so she went to buy condoms, right? And she's 42. She's a grown up. She was embarrassed to buy condoms, and you go there and it's like Magnum, XL, Trojan, you know, all this. And it's clearly marketed towards men, for men. So I thought, you know what, we need to market condoms for girls. And I always say, because you see on social media, and Ella's too young, thank God. But like, there's a lot of women, young women being, you know, what you might consider provocative on social media. And they're all like hashtagging, you know, sex positivity, which I'm all for, hashtag female empowerment, hashtag, you know, sex like a man. Like, we can all have sex like men, whatever that is. Like, who wants that anyway? But with that comes the responsibility. And I always think that's great that they feel empowered to be sexual as men have in the past, but are they going the next step? And like with that power comes responsibility. I want to try to normalize this conversation around condoms and buying condoms and using condoms and being the one to pull out a condom and not feel like, I always use the example, this is, yeah, you know, I grew up, I'm a child of this, you know, 70s and 80s. So Saturday Night Fever was like, you know, still to
everything,
this, everything. And remember Donna, the girl who's in love with the John Travolta character, wants to have sex with him, comes to the nightclub and she has a handful of condoms. And she's like, I brought the condoms. And he looked at her with such disgust. And he was like, basically, I think may have called, I don't think he said slut, but that, you know,
connotation of that yes, you're bringing.
You're an easy girl. Easy.
And thirsty. A real whore comes with her own condoms.
Yes. It comes with her own condoms. And it obviously imprinted on me because here's what 30 years later, I'm still talking about Donna, poor Donna. And I think that's not okay. You know, it's not okay. So we may, you know, it's funny because there's a couple things that I learned. Condoms are medical devices. So you need to be licensed in order to produce them and sell them, which I thought was like, interesting. There's only like four companies in the world that make condoms. So the condoms that you see out there are all made basically by the same companies.
Wow.
Sure, men use them, but they go inside you, right? So the condom we ended up producing is non-toxic, vegan. There's no animal casing. You know this. So it was a little more sensitive to the vagina. And it's also packaged in like very, you know, white and black and kind of chic, you know.
Yep.
Chic packaging that makes it okay almost to buy it and put it in your, you know, your fake Chanel bag or whatever you're carrying for the day.
And it's perfectly okay, ladies, to pull out a condom.
Women don't do that.
And it's unbelievable. My ship has sailed on that. You know what I mean? And now Ella's, you know, coming to age soon. I mean, she's only 14, but like, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen with Jax. And we have to have these conversations. I figure maybe things have changed, but you can't assume anything because it doesn't change. A lot of things stay the same. And especially these uncomfortable conversations. I don't find it uncomfortable, but people find it so uncomfortable because we've been trained and conditioned.
I would imagine, you know, I never had these discussions with my mom. I assume that it is still sort of like a difficult conversation, especially the buying condoms, giving your daughter condoms, making it okay for her to say to her boyfriend, we need to use condoms. Here's a condom. I kind of feel like that conversation needs to be normalized.
We're up here in the Berkshires right now, and the kids are going to regional high school up here, and it's a big amount of kids. I'm so used to small, tiny little groups. And I think of the impact now. I've changed my thought process on the impact that you can have at teenagers at this young age, looking at these big schools with all these numbers. And I'm thinking you guys maybe need to do like a high school tour with the company, because people look up to you, you're hip, you're rad, man, you're razzy. And these girls would look up to you and talk about this and have in high school.
I was looking on social media, I saw a picture and it was really provocative, but very striking photo. Maybe it was on TikTok, although I'm not really on TikTok, but I'm getting on TikTok, of this guy called Lil Nas. I think Lil Nas and then there's an X. Right.
Okay.
He's a rapper.
I don't think I know him.
Oh, I'm so okay. That makes me feel better because I had no idea who it was. Apparently he's huge. Okay.
But anyway, so there's a rapper and you saw his thing.
Hugely popular. And I saw his photo of him that went viral, probably in some sort of collaboration with Durex, which is another condom brand. And there's a picture of him and he's ripping open a condom. Now it turns out, I didn't know this. I did some Googling, as we used to call research, but now it's just Googling. And he's a very famous rapper who also happens to be gay. So he was doing this like public service announcement, right?
Okay.
And I was just struck by that photo and I called Robin, my partner in Sex and Good, and I thought that we need to do this. Yeah. So we just got off the phone with two organizations in Texas. Because, you know, obviously the Texas law that was passed in May, it was that long ago, basically banning abortion, weighed on my mind. And I thought, how can we help in a way that makes an impact? So we decided we're going to partner with these two organizations down there. One's called Jane's Due Process. Jane's Due Process works with teenagers, high school girls, and college girls to get them abortion services, but contraception and education. And we're going to hopefully, and maybe you can help us with this, I want to do a campaign where we have women in that same photo, but ripping open condoms, like, right?
Yes.
So like a PSA, like they're just the photo. And then, you know how they do those campaigns, hashtag condom campaign, right? And you post the picture and then you tag three friends and then they post it and so on. And so, and 100% of the profits from the sale of the condoms will go to these two organizations.
Right.
So I'm very excited about that. It's like in the beginning process of it. So we're still working out the details. I've never done a campaign like that. I mean, I've participated and I've been asked to do campaigns.
Sure. Yeah.
So I might have to pick your brain, maybe.
Please do. I'll be on your honorary board of directors for it. I love it because, you know, I did vote Rock the Vote with Puff and I've done a bunch of campaigns like that. So you're already doing what I wanted you to do. And so we can even take it one step further down the road and I would lean in and help with the education. So
I think it's so important
what you're doing.
Younger girls, yes. Younger influencers.
Yes.
Like I know a lot of people, some well-known people, but they're, you know, it's all like in the mid 40s to mid 50s range. We're all
right.
Like, it's not like post condoms because you should still use condoms to prevent STDs, which apparently they're called STI. I'm so old that I still call them STDs. They're called
STIs. They've recently changed. Okay. A friend of mine in the medical industry just shared that with me. Yeah. What are they called now? STIs?
Or,
yeah. Yes. Infections, not diseases.
Yes. You know, and hopefully it'll go viral. But I think the message is what's important. And we want to send money to these organizations who are on the ground working to help young girls in Texas with their sexual health, whether it's education, contraception, or providing abortion. My body, my choice, you know.
Hell yes. Well, first of all, I want to just tell people that in terms of sexual health and women's sex positivity, I mean, you were well before the trend. Let me just tell you. I mean, I've been friends with you, for 15 years now? Like, how long has it been? 12 years we've been friends, at least, something around there?
2010. What was the first season? Yeah.
Yeah, whatever the first season is. So I was off for like 8, 9, 10. Yeah, it's probably around somewhere upward 10 plus years we've been friends. This was a early conversation that we had. I mean, you were working with a company that I love too, and they were great. And you were very early on talking about vibrators and women having sexual, you know, their own control over their sexuality. And yeah, like sometimes you don't necessarily need a partner, but you're horny or you want to soothe yourself or whatever it is, or you're single at the time.
Or
you know what
you're
I mean?
With a partner and it's just fun sex.
Part of the sex. Exactly. So it was like really opening that up. And I didn't come from a conservative home, so to speak, but I came from a traditional home where like we didn't talk about it. So so for me, naturally, even though I'm very liberal and I'm like with you and I'm comfortable, it's inbred in you. It's like ingrained in you that I was like, oh, whoa, we're going to talk about vibrators right now.
You know what I mean? Like I didn't grow up being comfortable talking about any of that. Catholic,
right.
You know, it was like never spoken about, but because of that, I think I became more open as I got older and older and was able to express myself and think.
And you were widowed and, you know, like your life changed, a lot of things happened that were like true. And, you know, the reality is, how does this affect me? How does this affect my life? Who do I turn to when I'm feeling a certain sort of way? Or what symptoms should I be recognizing? Something as simple. I was talking to my girlfriend the other day, she's 52. She never knew she was supposed to have a shingles shot at 50 the doctors aren't talking, like there's no place to go. So I think it's a great resource. And speaking of infections,
remember all those Secret Santas?
Yes.
But every time we had a Secret Santa on the show, I would be the one that would bring the vibrators.
My vibrator collection is gifts from you. And I have a very robust one I want to thank my girlfriend Carol for. So that I gave one away the other day because someone wasn't doing what they needed to. But we're going to talk about this for one second, talking about infection and disease. I have my flyware right here. So this is cool. This is another little entrepreneurial jaunt that you're on right now, which I think, again, another like, so the sex positivity thing and women's health and women's awareness has been on your tongue for many years. So I'm really happy to see you turn it into this, but this has not been on your tongue for many years, but this is such a cool concept to me as a fashion designer. When you showed this to me a few months ago now, I loved it. So can we talk about your other new venture, Flyware, a little bit that I'm holding up? It's super cool.
This is actually a hazmat suit redefined and re-engineered to look like something you could wear even as streetwear, but it was, the intent was to be able to travel in it and feel protected and germ-free. I developed this with a girlfriend of mine who was in Miami, and it was early on in the pandemic. I think people would remember Naomi. There was a picture of Naomi Campbell in full hazmat glasses, like in from the 90s, you know, before, yes, you know, even before SARS was a mini epidemic. And it kind of went viral. And we sort of thought, wow, that would be a great thing to travel in. But it just, unless you're a 6'2" gorgeous model, it's not going to really look so great on you.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So we decided to re-engineer it, put in a cinch waist so you could have some shape, put the webbing stripes on it so it's some sort of fashion. Cool. But technically, it is a Tyvek material, which is material they make hazmat suits from. And it's just kind of like a chic version of it.
It's basically a flight suit. It's like, think about Top Gun. Think about Top Gun, yes, and how hot those guys were. And now turn it into white, and they have these cool racing stripes on them. Like, I'd wear them with my Ivy Park sneakers and I'd be so chic outside. Okay, yes. But then what's so great about it, you guys, is like, even for me, like, I watch young women on planes with short skirts on and shorts sitting on those seats, and it drives me crazy. I'm like, you're going to get skin infections. And why do you have those little shorts, yeah, up your butt on the plane? So this is a suit for people, business travel, as you get into travel again, where you could throw this on over your clothes in the plane.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or like, if I'm going, you know, down to Turks and Caicos, God willing, you know, for a little trip, like, I could wear my little shorts and a tank top and throw this over it, get off the plane, and it comes in its own bag. And I just think it's a great accessory.
Said Turks and Caicos. Are you triggered now?
I'm triggered. I know. Well, you know, the Housewives almost ruined Turks and Caicos for me. My vacation spot. Damn it.
they ruined it completely for me. But yeah, it comes in its own little bag, and you can sort of roll it up, put it back in the bag, and it's machine washable. You just throw it in, you don't put it in the dryer. You just throw it in the washing machine, yep, delicate, and then let it air dry. It dries.
You don't even really need to wash it that much, because like, you can treat it. It's like, yeah, you know, it's like a FedEx envelope. It's like that Tyvek. It's super cool.
You would know as a designer. That's the material. Yeah.
And Tyvek is used by fashion designers too, by the way. I've done some cool windbreakers out of it and stuff like that in my day. So way to go on Flywear. Tell me when people can buy it.
You can go to our website, flywear7.com, and that's where we're selling it. I'm doing a collaboration with Violet Gray, which is...
You're a consultant for Violet Gray, so people don't know that she's a beauty consultant.
My oldest friend, closest friend, my little sister, started that company, Violet Gray. I mean, I have a lot of amazing girlfriends who've done all these great things.
I should have Cassandra on the podcast. I would like to invite her on the podcast. She's incredible.
She's great. And she's a real entrepreneur. She started that I remember from the very first day, when it took a long time to actually launch it. Anyway, it's very successful now. And we're doing a collaboration with Violet Gray. We're doing a special Flywear suit for Violet. That's going to drop. And I'm excited about that. And then, you know, you can get it there, or you can get it on the flywear7.com website.
Well, I love mine, and I'm going to take some Instagram posts and do some pictures to show people it's coming. I love that. So you mentioned you're still doing your beauty consulting with Violet Gray. Is there anything that we should know about right now for our skin on the market, aside from, and I love that she says this, and it's the same with your estrogen, it's the same with your hormones. You got to work at it. You got to work at skin. It just doesn't come. But so is there anything on the market now that's new that you're looking at, a development that we should know about?
Everything that I use is medical grade. But the thing is, it depends, you know, it's consistency. It's like anything, you know, you got to work at it. It doesn't always come easy. Although my routine now is very easy, because just like my hormones, it's just like second nature. People always ask me about skincare products, you know, skin, you know, being the is different than muscle tone and laxity and all that stuff. And, you know, and I always say, like, you know, at 30, you get the face you're born with, at 40, the face you deserve, and at 50, the face you can afford. Because there's so much.
I love that.
Well, it's true, honey. There's so much you can do that outside of surgical procedures,
yes.
That really can stop or maintain the aging process on your skin. And, you know, whether it's radiofrequency lasering, lots of really high-end, smart medical grade skin products that you can put on top, internal like collagen, peptides, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so much to the point where it's funny because women, you know, there's this sort of narrative, again, a misogynistic patriarchal, don't start me on that, but narrative about women of a certain age and women don't age well and all this stuff, yeah. Which is completely turned around. And I don't think people are noticing it yet, but women are aging like rock stars, as far as I'm concerned, like, because we have gotten, because we've been so shamed for a century about aging. So I think women have really are leading the pack in terms of all this anti-aging, whether it's external collagen or external, all these technological advances that have been made, women are partaking in them. And men aren't, because men are just like sort of sitting back and like thinking salt and pepper hair, whatever, it all looks good. You know, even their little, their
man and society body has said so. And it's also, I bet a lot of men out there would be embarrassed asking. Like, I have a couple really macho friends of mine that are dudes that have been like, you know, a couple of them live out west too, where it's really dry. And as they're getting aged, like, I mean, you know, I've like, here, take this cream, like put serum on.
Put some cream on your face.
Yeah.
I'm going to say here now, men do not age well. Okay. Men do not age well. If you go and I'm always on like, not always, but like you go on these dating apps and I'm on several of them. I don't really use them other than to like see what's out there. So I'm always checking all the women. I'm like, oh, well, what's the competition? Right. Like who, and you look at all these women at any age from like 40 to 60, they all look about getting hot. They all look great. I'm like, wow, she looks great. Like I'm like, she looks great. She looks great. Then you go and you look at the men of the same age, 40s and 50s, and you're like, what? These guys do not look good. And it's like, wait, we were told that we weren't the ones that were that age well, that men age well. It's like, no, that was another lie that we were given when we were, you know, in our teen years, like Ella's age, you know, when it's imprinted. So we should turn that
narrative around
and turn that narrative around. Women, I think, are aging well because they're more aware of what's going in their body. They're more aware of what they can put on their skin. But it takes, you know, you got to be consistent. Violet Grey just launched a great product called Eighth Day. And I don't want to turn this into an ad for anything, but it actually is. It's like 24 peptides. It's developed by a doctor, much along the lines of another cream I use at night. I use the Eighth Day in the morning. At night, I use the Augustinus Botter cream. And it's kind of gotten a cult following now because, again, it was created by a doctor. And they're like what they call smart creams. And they really, there's an active ingredient that really works on your skin and gets underneath into the dermal layers and creates collagen, the thing that everyone talks about it. Also, Eighth Day, I don't know what it does, and I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to pretend, but there's 24 different peptides. It was in development, so I used it when it was before they launched, about 6 months now. Mm-hmm. And it's really changed the texture of my skin. So I love those two things. And in the morning, you have to use vitamin C. I use the Melanie Simon vitamin C concentrate. You just got to use it. I mean, anyone who's not using some sort of retinol product at night and a vitamin C in the morning, I don't know. We just can't be friends.
That's all I'm just saying. Your skin will suffer. Your skin will suffer.
We just can't be friends.
I love it. It's a mug from Dorinda's book. She's doing so good. I'm so proud of her too.
You see her up in the Berkshires?
I do. It's so funny because we talk now more than like ever. I think through the pandemic and all that stuff, like there's certain relationships that you just like, you realize like, wow, that's important to me. Like I need to, you know, we need to check in more with each other and stuff like that. And I feel like we both felt that way. And I think obviously the show too was, I feel like you guys were not, you know what I mean? And I felt very supportive and I just love her. She's such a good person. She always has been. She's so much fun. She has so much energy. I mean, it's exhausting just watching her Instagram page, isn't it?
She's so funny. She is a good person that got used by that show in a way that is unfortunate. I feel like there's so much more to Dorinda that the audience will never see, that, you know, but, you know,
I hope they do someday. Cause I feel like there's so much in her future. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I just think she has so much going for her. I hope she just keeps looking forward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's for sure. So yes. And we'll need to make a plan to get the three of us together. You need to have, take a little road trip up here. Get
Now I pump around in my little 1998 red Jeep, which
I love that Jeep Cherokee. And I built the barn and it's going to be ready on December 1st. So you'll have your own pied-à-terre studio.
Have a girls' weekend, not on camera.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so nice that way. So aside from educating all these people and creating all these new brands and, you know, helping people out, what are you doing to find your freedoms now? What, you know, with the world opening up a little bit more, like talk to me about what's cooking with you and how you're feeling free.
You know, it was really hard with the pandemic. I just feel like it's taken me a little bit to get my footing post pandemic. I didn't mind, you know, it's weird because during the pandemic, when we were in lockdown, I gotta be honest, I other than the fact that the air could kill us, I kind of enjoyed it. I'm like an introverted extrovert. So that time I was just like calm and, you know, you develop, and it's weird how I nurtured some friendships that had been like on the periphery because, you know, everything else that was going on in your life. And really, I bought the car on eBay. So I was able to get out of the city a lot, visit my parents in upstate New York. I really enjoyed it. Now, like this part of it, this kind of phase of it is like, it's a little bumpy getting back to like, you know, I was someone who I would go out four nights a week, right? There's always something going on in New York. I mean, I love this city and the city is so back. Like it's really like, there's one thing about New York and the people who live here. It's so resilient and it's a smart city. You know, it's just like, it has the mechanisms to like rebound and figure out and pivot and all this stuff. So I love to see that about the city. I bought a house upstate in the Catskills with a couple of friends. You know, it's where I grew up. It's not that far.
It's not far from Suffern. Well, yeah. I mean, the Catskills is just, you know, 45 minutes from me.
This is in the town of Catskill. It's near Saugerties, where I kind of spent my childhood, right outside of Woodstock. We decided to like buy this house and we're fixing it up. We gutted it. Now we're in the demo phase and we're going to renovate it and either brand it to rent it as like a high-end rental up there. Because I feel like a lot of people now post pandemic really have this desire to kind of get out of cities if they can. And with this kind of work week where you can take off Fridays, work halftime Mondays, it allows you the freedom to go out, you know, spend weekends someplace else. So we're either going to do that or we're going to flip it and sell it and maybe buy another one. But I mean, I must say, I get so much joy out of looking at tile samples and flooring and like how we're going to figure out the kitchen and the door jams and like all the, and the electrical plan and the framing, like, okay, I think this wall needs to be 6 inches to the left. I would love it so much. And it's, some of it is just so mundane, but I mean, I feel like my whole life has prepared me for this moment of buying homes, gutting them, renovating them, and selling them. So hopefully that might be a little side hustle as well.
That's amazing. You're on your first flip. I love it. Well, we must meet there because I want to see it. And then you can come over and see, because I'm in the middle of construction in the barn and I'm picking tiles and I'm doing all that fun stuff. So come and help me. I remember on Sundays when I would leave the Berkshires, I would be so sad I had to go back to New York on a Monday. You know, and I love Manhattan. I love the city. So now having a little control as to when I go, when I leave and not have that clock ticking, I hope some people from the pandemic, because I agree, I'm having a little bit of hard time jumping back into things too, but I hope we can find some new normals that really work for us, that feed us. Yeah. So look for those out there, because I think
we're banking on people like you.
Good. And one thing I want to share, by the way, I wanted to tell this about people because I didn't finish my thought. I come from the, you know, the nutrition background and I have a beauty product and you drink it, right? Because be wary, girls, and Carol will back me on this. When you see a collagen cream, the collagen molecule itself is too big to permeate through the dermal layer of the skin. So the product that she was talking about, it actually entices collagen production under the skin. So there's there's things that will help support the collagen that you already have, and then things that help promote new collagen. But when you're putting a cream that says collagen, like on your face, it's not really doing anything. So be wary, buyer beware.
Microneedler too. Yes. I microneedle also. Also, women put too much product on. It's amazing how little, the little amount of product you actually need.
Right.
And I find that women, even my girlfriends, they put on so much. It's like, you don't need that much because most of it's just lying on top of your skin.
Right. And not sinking in. Okay. So that was the last tip I wanted to share, but I love you. And we should, you got to come back again, as I always need you, so that we can catch up and I get to share you with everybody, because they don't get to see as much as they want used to and they would like to. So I get to share you. So thank you so much. For anybody who doesn't know Carol Radziwell, can you let them know where they can find you?
You mean on my Instagram?
Yeah. And anywhere else that they may find you, like run down your new list of entrepreneurs, flyware, you know.
You can find me on
Get Sex and Good.
Get Sex and Good is our company's Instagram and also website, Sex and Good. You can see me on TikTok because I think I'm going to start doing some TikToks in relation to the hashtag condom challenge. TikTok is the audience that we're trying to target. So we're going to do some content surrounding the narrative about buying condoms, using condoms, making, normalizing the language around condoms for girls.
Well, I'll open a TikTok account just to do a public service announcement for you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I love it because it's good messaging. And then your hashtag for Instagram, or your handle on Instagram.
It's just my name, you know?
Yeah, just at Carol Radziwell and you'll find her.
That's my calling card.
So call her if you're a single male. Seek her out on those match sites, guys. She's there. She's looking. All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm your host, Heather Thompson. This is In My Heart. Thank you, Carol, my dear friend and guest. And I'm certainly so thankful of the time that we had together during the pandemic. It was one of my favorite parts, is getting to see you, because there wasn't many people we got to see. So I'm so glad to have you in my life. I love you very much. This is In My Heart.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.